So I don't know if this thing's, yeah, this has got, so no, if this is hooked up to a sound system right now, we can use this, assuming we get close enough to it.
Okay. I mean, whatever. I would just prefer just to keep it simple and just use the roaming mic.
Tell you what, I'll set up here at least. How long is our? We'll try. Yeah, this is the worst one on the first one. I don't want to check.
Hello? We're going to get started in a minute. My name is Noah Lenstra, and I am the co-chair of the Student Connecting Forum. If I could have everyone's attention, we're going to get started. So any conversations can be taken out into the hallway. This is the Students Connecting panel, and this is Noah Lenstra from the University of Illinois. Before we get into the presentations, I just want to get a sense of the representation of who we have here today. Who here is from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign?
We are the room.
So it looks like there's going to be a lot of connecting amongst ourselves. But are any of you LEAP students? Any LEAP students in the house today? All right. Do we have anyone here from Indiana University? No? Who here is from University of Michigan? There we go. Do we have any other schools besides Michigan? Anyone from Dominican? There we go. Is there any other schools that I haven't named yet here today? Okay, so we have University of Illinois, University of Michigan, and Dominican. Anyone from University of Illinois at Chicago? No? All right. Well, it's nice to know who we have in the audience. We're going to start with a couple of videos from the University of Illinois from our Community Informatics program, and then we're going to have some students from the University of Michigan come up and give a presentation about Community Informatics there. And we're going to try to keep this pretty quick from the formal presentation so that we can really focus on question and answer and really brainstorming about how we can both work together better at our own institutions and across institutions. So with that, I'm just going to start with a presentation Karina, do you want to introduce your presentation and I can step in?
So most of you helped produce this video, but this is a video featuring a day in the life of Illinois libraries, featuring 5 libraries that you will see, and it's just kind of to capture each library's day in the life to show why they're important, why they need to stay here, and why we want them to stay. So this is a video that Michelle, who's not here, and I edited, and the 502 class Libraries, Information, and Society went out, got footage, pictures, and all that jazz, and we put together this video. So I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Does that have a
headphone?
Do you want to just say a little bit about your video while we try to switch over so we can get better audio for the next one?
Yeah. I can actually talk about some of the themes that we had in other, some of the challenges that we had just in editing. And I know part of this session is to talk about, you know, giving people resources and teaching them things like technology. And oftentimes we're teaching ourselves. Michelle was teaching me a lot about iMovie. We used iMovie to edit this, and we were teaching ourselves how to export using two different laptops to kind of transfer my parts of the video with her parts of the video. So, you know, I learned a lot of lessons, and I think one of the things that I really learned in making this video is how important libraries are to the communities we live in. You know, a lot of those one-word responses to, you know, what's a library to you? Captivating, community, magical, interesting, like all those things. You know, it really moved me personally, and I think as a future librarian, it's something that I'm going to take with me to remember that, you know, I'm not just doing this for a job that I'm passionate about, but these things are things that people really need, that these libraries, whether it be in a school, whether it be in a public library or the clearinghouse where it's kind of stationary and they're sending books out or sending resources out. All those things are very necessary and relevant for where we are in today's day and age. So.
Thank you. Jeff, are you ready to go?
I'm gonna give it a try. We're trying the tape in on the mixer, so I don't know if this is gonna work, guys. I have two videos to show us today. I guess I can give us something of an introduction. So I'm here representing all kinds of things. I'm a PhD student at the University of Illinois, for those that don't know me. And one of the things I got to do a few years ago was to start something called the Community Informatics Club. And it's, you're going to learn about it in the video, so I won't give the whole rundown. But we'll show that one, and then I also have a little piece of a video that's, I didn't have time to finish it. We're not honestly finished for the class at all, but we have a really cool class that's pulling together a bunch of videos this semester. I'm going to try to show at least a little bit of that material. So. What's up?
Oh, video backgrounds.
Man, what's this doing?
I don't know what you're talking about. What did this do?
Oh, one other thing about the video is we cut a lot of footage. So we could have made it like a lot longer and 20 minutes long. But we cut it down.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
There's a lot of great stuff.
Let me see if this one works with the tape in.
Okay. Try that. Go.
Perfecting the image, please.
Yes. Okay. Let's try it.
All right. Here we go. Let's see if this has sound. Oh, Lord. I installed one new font that has to do this. And there are like 500 in there. We could try one of the media player, I suppose. Maybe just hold left and cancel it. Cool.
Cool.
Well, I'm gonna jump ahead while Jeff is trying to figure that out, and I'm going to ask our guests from the University of Michigan, who prepared a presentation, to come and give the presentation that they made about community informatics at Michigan.
Who's that?
We're gonna use it on this computer.
I've got it on USB.
Where's roaming mic? So just give me a second to open it up. You can just, any of the mics should be live, so you can just go ahead.
Do I have a clicker or?
I can just, I'm
a human clicker.
Okay, cool. Very technical. Okay. So my name is Tiffany Chow.
And I'm Letty Malin.
And we're both at the University of Michigan. And just to give you some background, the University of Michigan is set up a little differently because we have 8 specializations within the school. And you can do things like get your specialization in library information services. Right. So we have some things like library and information services, human-computer interaction, archives and records management. So these are all things you can specialize in. You can also go tailored, which prepares you, Letty is tailored, so how would you describe a tailored specialization?
I guess because we have a lot of different things to offer, and so I'm doing tailored so that I can do human-computer interaction and educational technology with the school event. So we can just sort of combine your own program too.
Right, and I think the point of it is to prepare you with the skills. We're really project-based at Michigan to consult with real clients and develop prototypes for things we'd like to see in the future. So if you want, Noah, do you mind? All right, so we have a community informatics core, and sometimes it's called community information. We just call it CIC. And we're basically any students from any of the specializations that come together and want to make effective change in the community. And anyone can join, and we support local projects. And we're funded by the Kellogg Foundation, which is how we are actually at the conference today. And so if you want to go on. So in the past year, we worked with 2 major organizations, the National Alliance for Mental Illness and the Neutral Zone. So the first one I'm going to talk about a little about is the Neutral Zone. And it's a center for teens in Ann Arbor and the neighboring communities like Ypsilanti to come together and make artistic expressions and to really create leadership opportunities for teens. And this year they came to us, they found our website and they were like, oh, what can you do for us? We have all this information about our donor and alumni base and we don't know how to organize it. So throughout the semester we wanted to create a best practice model for them to prevent data duplication, a flow work model, so that they could have more consistent formatting in the future. They could effectively contact people they needed to. So these are very specific skills they're bringing to a community organization that needed us. And so I personally work with the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and that is a nationwide organization, but we also have a local branch in Washtenaw County in Michigan. And so for this, we wanted to create a survey for them to understand how to contact their current user base. And essentially what we did, the main purpose for this is to communicate effectively with them. And NAMI's purpose is to give services to people who might not have the affordances to seek out therapy or information regarding their mental illness. So we really wanted to give them a way to collect data so that they could apply for funding that they could use to make the service changes they needed to their communities. And so we created this data throughout this semester. And right now they're implementing changes and actually distributing the survey to collect data, how people would like to be emailed versus called versus, you know, mailed letters. Because when you're dealing with a nonprofit organization like NAMI, not everyone has the same tools to be reached with. So right now we're in the midst of reimagining community informatics. Michigan. And it's something we came to the conference with in hopes of helping to define. So right now we are struggling to find a footing in this field because it is a very small specialization. You'll notice that both Letty and I are not specializing in community informatics. And one of the current struggles we have is that there is no set faculty. We don't have someone we can turn to for consistent guidance, and that has been really difficult to establish something. But the good news is that we do have within our cohort a group of really dedicated people wanting to make effective change and to connect with communities and establish long-term engagement projects. And so those are some of the people that were participating in the meeting that we've been restructuring this past month. And I guess we need help in learning to define our mission statement, how to engage with the community when we're master's students and we're in and out of the program in 2 years or less. And contextualizing our services. So while we do events like Alternative Spring Break that utilizes our skills, so we'll do maybe usability evaluations at the JSTOR or other nonprofits in New York, Chicago, Detroit, we want to know how we can incorporate that within the community informatics framework and how we can reach out and make those models conceivable and part of our action plan for the school. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I guess one of the things we're sort of like interested in learning about your program is just sort of, you know, how the ways in which you sustain interaction with the community. Because while we have a lot of one-off projects, we have a lot of one-day events, so there is service incorporated throughout our school, but it's the long-term commitment in specific or community places, I think, is something that we would like to develop more and are like interested in talking with you guys about what you're doing, so we can sort of bring some new ideas back to our program.
Yeah, I guess even to add to the very foundational knowledge, what is community informatics? And Abdul was talking earlier about social informatics versus community informatics, and that really reminds me of, during the Cold War, there was area studies, and from the grassroots efforts, there was ethnic studies, and they really had to, meet somewhere to create this new foundational knowledge and to shift the paradigm, of what we understood and considered important to spread in the community. So I just feel like community informatics has so much potential, and at Michigan, it's been a really difficult process in achieving that potential and connecting with students, in the long term. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you. We can do some questions after.
Okay.
Should we give it another go?
I think rather than the videos that we were going to show, they will be online at some point. Is that correct?
Well, it's actually mine's already online.
Can we try showing it from?
Yeah, and I have it here. So I just it's really struggling with the sound, and I'm hanging on to that. I apologize to you guys. The sound is sort of super important for mine. What can I unplug? I need the speaker. Because otherwise you won't really be able to hear anything. And Karina, we should make sure to get yours online so everybody can go visit and sort of hear some of the. It's a different input. This is the problem, is that all it's so little lesson in technology stuff. Let's see if I can find my cord. So the old school mixers like this use what, quarter inch jacks, which are the big old ones from like the 70s, and everything now uses these little headphone jacks. Actually, cell phones use something smaller than that. So we need a converter from this to the big fat one, and we don't have that. So I tried with banana plugs, but that's what that gave that horrible feedback noise. Which I'm a little terrified of. So, and I didn't come prepared to link into mixers.
Yeah, we're gonna try the USB speaker.
All kinds of stuff. Friends, professors, community groups. Thank you. theory, professional development, activism, and casual social. The group's leadership is informal, and anyone can get involved in planning or pushing some kind of agenda. And until last year, raised funds for Big Sales. In 2010, we were awarded a small grant by the Illini Union for outstanding student leadership and cutting-edge community service. The TIS bookstore sponsored us some $2,500 that has enabled us
Post
to buy
laptops,
cameras, computers, and other equipment to help us continue to enhance our operations and bring new levels of engagement. So at this point, you're probably actually wondering, what is it that you actually do? Well, being that we're based in a school about library science, we spent some significant time volunteering in libraries. Probably our biggest and most influential contribution is library technology volunteers, who provide technology assistance to patrons in the lab, as well as monthly computer literacy classes. We also run library-based stop-motion workshops for kids to help with technology, and have spent some time consulting in small libraries to deploy open-source time reservation software. Activism, is another focus of ours. In the past, this has taken our focus. Learning about and promoting conduct art made by women. Visiting the local state park to call our center for protests at the local level. Running a radio show and listening party about the role of libraries and government and voting in what was at the time the upcoming Obama election. Helping the local center for women to transition and make a better and keep track of its children's book collection. And digitizing materials from the local African American history archive, the EYCU. Our group also has a dedication to scholarship. Our members have presented and attended numerous conferences, including high schools and the local EYCU symposium series, and constantly connect our projects and resources to existing CI classes. A major site we try to visit with some frequency is East St. Louis. One of the most impoverished communities in the state and the greater U.S., East St. Louis holds many opportunities. We try to help out with some of the existing relationships GISLIS already has with groups down there. The CI Club helped rescue and organize materials for the Catherine Donovan archives, and has helped with other workshops like digital storytelling with Mary Brown Center, and computer literacy training at the Eagles Nest Homeless Services Center. Most of our work that's not in libraries happens with the Independent Media Center. The UC Independent Media Center is a grassroots organization committed to using media production and distribution as tools for promoting social and economic justice. Our involvement has mostly been with Books to Prisoners, an organization that provides one of the only sources of information and education for prisoners. And also by helping to organize an impressive collection of scenes. Scenes are a sort of underground kind of media that's somewhere between a magazine and a pamphlet, and we've been trying to organize them into a custom Drupal cataloging system. Finally, perhaps the most essential dimension of our group is the social aspect. Each year, we bring together as many people as we can to open a pop-up where new students can meet existing masters and PhD students, as well as faculty that are involved in CI. Beyond this, we do things like go bowling, arrange trips to the local Apple Orchard, attend trivia and storytelling events, and otherwise hang out when we can. For many of us, the relationships we started with our peers in our ranking lists have been some of the most meaningful experiences we've had in all of our time. I don't know what I would have done without CI. It's been one of the greater cool things I've been a part of. Probably the most important or impressive student organization. We've made actual differences to the community, and students have been able to fall into some really cool ways. I think that I might be bold in saying this, but I'd say that we put a lot of the community into the name of that. As nerdy as that might sound, it's really crucial.
I don't think we should bother with the other video. I guess to talk about it. And I don't want to put you, and it's only a minute long. I don't want to put you guys through that.
Karina, do you want to come up here with Jeff and I, and we can just now have the Q&A? So I'm going to just get started with the Q&A. Following up on some questions that were raised by Tiffany and Letty, this question of defining community informatics and shaping community informatics. And some thoughts that I have are that I think community informatics has to take seriously this idea of a society in transition and transformation, and in this transformation, many people are being, and many communities are being left behind, and I think that has to be be the starting point for community informatics. And then from that starting point, then we have to think about what methodologies and what research can we do to study what's happening in this transformation and what impact we can have that both influences scholarship and policy in terms of shaping a better future. I mean, that's, I don't know if that gets at what you were trying to get, Tiffany, but I mean, I think this is a good opportunity for people who've taken different community informatics classes at different schools to start a discussion about this. So I guess my first question is really, or my first question is for the audience about defining community informatics. Does anyone have any thoughts or definitions that they'd like to share?
I like things simple, so using technology to help communities get what they want / deserve,
mm-hmm.
more or less. That's a pretty easy working definition to start with. You can problematize it later. I mean, but I feel like it's most important to actually get started with the work than to think about it. But that's a personal preference.
Well, I mean, I take your point, Aaron, and I think that's important to remember. But then, if we always start with work, then, and if we don't really think about the theory and methods, then we're constantly reinventing the wheel. In other words, we start community informatics over and over again if we think about just starting with the work. That's my take on that.
Can I respond to that really quickly? I heard this lecture given by a professor at our school that was really, I think, inspiring for me as a former youth development worker. And one of the things she said was that technology has to add value to whatever you do, right? It's not enough to give people the tools if they don't have the skills to use them, like the literal, you know, technology. And if there's no infrastructure, if there's no know-how to kind of build technology from within the community, capacity building within the community, then that technology won't spread and it won't grow. So I think it's more complex than that statement, I guess, from my perspective.
Well, it's not that I don't think theory lacks a place, it's just that it's a place that, you know, I get bored with the academy. Place we get stuck in, and then we don't do anything. So that's my general problem, I guess. And, you know, when I do things myself, I don't usually just start out of nothing. I find what other people have done, because especially with technology, I only know so much, very limited. So working with what other people have done and see things, but also there are a lot of things that haven't been done at all. And community informatics is kind of young, so, you know, there are some things where you are going into uncharted waters. I don't know, I'm just much more of a do, because we can get so caught up in trying to design the best survey, trying to get all this stuff done, but by the time we finish it, maybe the results are useless, you know, and so and then what? So I don't know, that's just my personal way of working is, you know, I want to get started, and you know, what I learned along the way.
Perhaps to mediate somewhat between the two points, I think that a couple things that I would really like to see community informatics do, the first thing that I think is pretty absent from most discussions of community informatics are power dynamics, and the fact that you basically have these academic institutions who work with communities, but those academic institutions and those students contain most of the power in those relationships. And a lot of what you get is, you know, you see a lot of outcomes of like dependency theory, or just you see certain paradigms that don't match up with communities. Or, you know, you see that, you know, without the usage of I guess without the uses of proper theories, you oftentimes see results that communities are, whatever happens, it's not sustainable within communities, right? And so I think one of the things that I think is very important is because this is a field that has so much potential, I would really like to see more liberatory philosophies and paradigms and theories utilized in its kind of in the academy in terms of getting students and other practitioners of this field thinking more about theories that actually came out of liberation struggles and came out of really relate to communities that you want to work with. And then I think another thing that's really important is the recruitment of those people within that field. Because ultimately you need to have people in the academy, if this is going to be an academic field that really continues to flourish, you need to have people in the academy who have relation to the communities that you're trying to serve. And because this field is within the library and information science field, which is a very homogeneous field, I think that until there are real efforts made to both diversify the paradigms that this field operates under as well as the people who operate within it, you're going to see a lot of the same types of things reproducing themselves.
I can talk to you. Lots of things going through my head as we talk about all this. One, Randy Soker's paper seems to be largely what we're talking about. Is community informatics good for communities? Seems to be the theme that I think is being thrown around here. And that paper offers a really good critique to exactly what Nate's saying in the back there. He offers an interesting solution that relates to what you were saying, is that one way is to see ourselves as a more humbled institution. And one of the possibilities of this university or dominant view is that technology is automatically the solution, or a certain kind of technology or a certain form of technology is a solution. But instead, if we conceptualize ourselves as a subfield or a subset of community development, and we start looking from the perspective of the organization first, and then start understanding the solutions as they see them, and then talk about the solutions as we see them, we can come to a better perspective on that. To Nate's effect, I'm always hounding for more people from a critical sociology perspective. That's absolutely something that I think this field could use more of. Aaron, answering all of you. Two responses. One, you can kind of do an operational definition. If you just go out and do things, you can sort of look back and say, well, here's what we're doing. So at very minimum, if you're gonna get out there and start doing without thinking ahead of time, reflection has gotta be part of it, so in whatever form that's gonna take. The other side is that if we should proceed and if we can proceed, I think has to do with answering those questions. We don't necessarily have to agree as a field to the answer to the questions, but the title gets it alone. Community, how we define that, and I think the dominant norm is place-based, but I think that that's something that's not always quite, where that crosses over with identity communities and virtual communities, I think this is important. And then when we say technologies, is that I think there's this automatic association with cell phones, computers, internet, but the reality of a lot of the kinds of work that we can do with community development is it can involve other kinds of technologies to fit the context better. And so that's why I like broadening it to information processes, is that that's something that we as information science professionals can bring that might not be automatically tied to something that carries with it a lot of politics. That was a lot, sorry.
So I'm in the community informatics certificate program here, a first year student in my second semester, so I thought I could maybe speak to the sort of how I feel like this fits into the department, how I fit into it, part of the question. I think we have a good best of both worlds thing here. We have a curriculum that is very based in research and best practices and that kind of thing, but it does get us out into the field and makes us apply research. But we also have the club and that side of it that lets us sort of experiment and lets us I felt like there was a tension between those two things for the first part of my time here, but I think I'm starting to get some synthesis now where, our more social, casual, experimental work in the club is kind of reinforced by what we're getting in the curriculum, and vice versa too. We take some creative stuff from the club and put it into our work in class. So I don't know how you can really arrange that there without the curriculum or the faculty side, but I think building up what you have on the student side, you know, is the first step.
Well, just the history for U of I's community informatics core and all that, that came together originally as a club. Before it existed as a curriculum, it was a club at our school. And so, I mean, these things can build. And that's...
So, I had a question for Tiffany and Buddy that maybe could help us answer that. Now, one of the organizations you were working with was a national organization that saw the value of data. So, I mean, thinking about community informatics as a national infrastructure, I mean, did you working with this national data-intensive organization, did you come away with that, with some thoughts about how community informatics could be conceived as a national infrastructure as opposed to a case-by-case thing?
Sorry, I'm just going to reinterpret your question a little. So when I was working with NAMI, one of the things I noticed, and I've worked with a lot of nonprofits in the past, and they're really disorganized. For the ones I've worked with, they don't have an infrastructure that allows for data collection. And that is so problematic. And I've noticed that with even an organization as well known as NAMI, they didn't have that, and we were trying to develop a structure for them. And I don't know, there's financial barriers that prevent this from happening. There are structural barriers. So I feel like there's so much, like I didn't have very much, you know, like a mentor throughout this project where I could say, well, you know, show me how this should be done. I was taking a usability class at the same time that was developing. I don't know how familiar you are with human-computer interaction, but most people go on to become user experience researchers and designers. So what we do is we go, okay, is this website usable? You know, and part of that is survey and creating personas. And that's what we were doing with NAMI. And it was just a very big struggle in getting that knowledge, first of all, within my volunteer group, you know, our consultant group. And implementing that, so there was no structured anything because it is a nonprofit and it is pro bono time. So that was one of our biggest struggles. So.
Okay. I know there's a lot of questions out there. I wanted to put someone else on the spot. Could the student from Dominican speak a little bit about about your experiences and any thoughts about community informatics from Dominican?
Really my background.
Okay. Could you tell us why you decided to come to this?
Well, last year, I only heard about it on Tuesday. The same thing happened last year where I heard about it too late to go because I already had plans. And I was like, oh, it's basically I had the day off from work and I was like, I should go and just see what is being talked about through other schools. And I'm actually surprised that there aren't, I was expecting more Dominican people because Dominican is right here. So it's interesting to see. I do know that some of the professor is trying to develop programs with like local parishes and doing archival work with them because they're really interested in kind of building little collections. And so there is programs starting where they're getting students to go out into those communities and work for the semester or do a practicum. But it's just in its beginning stages and I'm about to graduate, so I'm not really gonna get to participate in that either.
I think that comment kind of makes me think about something that, you know, you're about to graduate and you touched on this. I think one of the challenges for you is that, you know, master's students that make up a majority of CI Club are only here for a limited time. And that is one, to me, you know, I'm in my very first semester of library school. But that has been an issue that I personally kind of seen and struggled with. Because right now I'm working with the Center for Women in Transition and I have a very big vision for my time in working with them. But you know, I do think about the realities of graduation. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I don't want to leave this organization because and it comes back to Nathaniel, what you mentioned, these power dynamics, right? So there's the university and there's the community we're working with. And what I've seen in Center for Women in Transition is this kind of tug and pull of power relations just between that. And I think graduation and the limited amount of time that we as students are working in these communities kind of limits the definition that we have and we come up with for community informatics. That's just my personal opinion.
Jump in just as a, I'm loud enough, they can probably pick me up. So the building relationships, right? If my answer to that question or that challenge would be like, how do you know that you're not being harmful, right? Well, I don't know for certain, but if I build a relationship with a community group or an individual in the community group, I can have a better idea, right? Because I learn from them, they learn from me. And one of the challenges is we can't build relationships when it's a two-year turnover. And oftentimes it's not just a two-year turnover, but it's people that aren't quite sure what they're trying to do, and like, you know, the CI curriculum is like one of the many things and so on. So professors and PhD students offer a really unique opportunity there in that we can stick around longer and build these relationships. Or NOAA's done virtually the same thing with the CIS, so some of the extended degree kinds of programs. The angle we've tried to take with the CI Club is a weird hybrid, and I would argue it's successful, others might disagree. But there are some, like Books to Prisoners, where it's not really a big deal if a person's only volunteering there for a semester. Is that they're not, like, I'm not convinced that they're gonna cause any major harm to these guys that are already in jail that were put there, right? The worst, they could send them bad material, right? And that's a pre-existing organization. They've got a great volunteers framework already set up. It's real easy to plug people right into that. So that's the kind of thing that we can do these one-off quick events and we can plug people into quickly. The other kinds of things, like when we go down to East St. Louis, just about the only group that I'm comfortable coordinating with on my own is the Eagle's Nest Homeless Services Center, because I have a relationship with the director there. I know her. We can plug into that. And that's something where we try to have something of an ongoing project. Even if we're not down there all that frequently, we at least have that connection. And that's at least my attempt to get around these things, is that we have some events that are involvements with community informatics that are temporary, but we feel safer with those. And the ones that we think are a little bit more dangerous are the ones that are questionable. I try to do my best to develop relationships with.
How about also institution building, the UFL volunteers?
Yeah, we can plug into pre-existing institutions, and that way then volunteers can come.
We've also built, you know, basically a freestanding institution within GISLIS with that too. I mean, that's going to continue. It's
right.
Been handed off already more than once.
Well, we besides having master's students on that, we have a staff person at UFL that acts as like.
So, but I mean, you know, these things can be transmitted through if you keep a strong culture, I think.
Right, and I guess, you know, one of the things that we're encountering right now is that, you know, there's obviously plenty of work out there to be done. Like, that's not the issue. I mean, the issue is that we're trying to work past what our faculty and our PhD students are already doing, you know, because we have a lot of students who would be interested in this. And so we're looking for ways to use our student group to sort of expand, you know, and go beyond like the things our faculty are doing. So I guess the answer to that is that you guys are just using the relationships that you have established to sort of select your projects and or just based on the connections you have with
them. Right. And that doesn't always work out. Just to be clear, by the way, we made a bunch of mistakes on the road here. This is by no means a weak angel.
We had a question from an alumni from the University of Illinois program, Paolo Guilde.
Well, actually, I don't have a question, but I just want to add on what Jack had mentioned. So basically, to me, you know, I want to answer also what community informatics is. To me, it's not necessarily about focusing on technology, computers, all of those things. But, you know, I agree with you. It's a lot about building communities, building collaborations. To me, community informatics is that. That's, I think, to me, that's the core of it, is to creating that relationships between a community, the university, and the students, right? But how do we go from that, especially with a master's students? We're only in, you know, basically 2 years, you're practically done, right? A big part of it is really creating a documentation of what you've done. You know, you want to have that documentation, that way, you know, anyone that's gonna go after you will be able to build upon what you have created, on what you have started. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, a big part of that, what we're doing before is that at Community Informatics, we create sort of a planning in the end of a project, perhaps, and have recommendations of how you can move forward, you know, with this is what we've done so far, and how can we build upon all of those projects.
We had a comment at the back of the room.
Hi, I want to ask, since it is a short program and thinking about Michigan, in which there is no go-to person, what are the skills that you learn once you finish the program? So if I get into the program within community informatics, what type of skills, that skill set do I have, and what are the job prospects for coming out of that program? And if it's a lot of, you know, going out into communities and things like that, but once it's over, what do I have to say as far as my background goes? Like he mentioned something about, you said like a portfolio or something like that, but what are my skills?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that is different about the community informatics specialization in Michigan that separates it from all the other ones. You know, so our threat specializations are like, you know, libraries, science, you know, human-computer interaction on the other end, we have like archives and, you know, like the
information policy
and then like, you know, like the data mining and that sort of thing. But the community informatics is just, you know, it's almost, it's more of a philosophy and a way of looking at our work more than a skill set, I feel like in a lot of cases. And so,
yeah. I guess, I don't know if you're considering applying or what, you know, what your stages are, but.
Oh, I am a student at GISLIS, LEAP student.
Oh, okay, so I guess one of the things I would say in response is that that's something I've been struggling with. What kind of skills do you need to work in a community? So in some of the earlier forums, someone mentioned technology organizer, and I was like, wow, that's like the best thing ever. Like, I didn't know about these positions and how you can go into a community and really work with them, you know, like, obviously union organizers, people know about that, you know, but I think this new perspective in that technology as a tool of agency and empowerment is really new. And for me, I don't know what skills, you know, community informatics at Michigan was offering me. I know what I'm making of my time there, and I want more technologically based skills. We have a seminar, and we have, you know, some courses that offer, you know, information use in communities, you know. And I think one of the big struggles is, at Michigan, is domestic versus international. Library outreach versus, you know, other forms of outreach. And I think that's always going to be the case in terms of faculty and students and whoever's interested in it. So I had to develop my own set of framework of what I wanted to accomplish within a community.
Now, one skill that I can say at the University of Illinois, especially last semester, and especially in this broadband moment, is the ability to create videos and to help people create videos that are going, especially nonprofit agencies that are struggling to survive financially, the ability to have a video documentation of their work that they can use to lobby for resources is a critical asset for a lot of community agencies that are barely surviving. I think if we put our heads together, we could come up with a skill set, an evolving skill set for sure. But I think it's possible to pin things down, and I think that's a big problem with community informatics is that people don't want to be pinned down in community informatics. People like saying it's this and that, and it depends on whatever agency I'm working with. But I think we really need to pin things down and have some clarity about what we're doing.
So I guess my question to you then is do you think there is a core skill set, or do you think the skill set depends on your project and your focus?
I don't know if there's a core skill set. I think what would be possible is that the community informatics initiative, the community informatics centers across the country could create an evolving wiki of the skills as they change that are needed and necessary for community informatics work and different institutions, public libraries. I mean, such a wiki could be contributed to by cyber navigators and libraries across the country based on this is a big thing. I mean, I'm public libraries, like the New York Public Library, I don't know if any of you know this, but they put out a big book of reference questions. In other words, this huge book, it was commonly asked reference questions at the New York Public Library, and it was a way so that the same question didn't have to be asked over and over again. You could go to this book. I mean, community informatics could have something like that. It would change over time, just like this reference book changed over time, but it would be something that people could go to and be contributed by everyone. With an evolving skill set. I mean, I don't think it has to be fixed in time, but I think it could be something that could be at least an evolving skill set. And I think we could start with video. We could start with networking. How to put together a computer lab, how to troubleshoot basic problems. I mean, these are things that I think are core skills, how to teach someone, how to have patience and working with different age groups, cultural competencies, with different backgrounds. If people have been screwed by the university over time, knowing that it's going to take a different way to work with that individual as opposed to someone whose husband is the provost or something. I mean, these are the realities. I mean, that's cultural competency, I think. I think it would be possible to create such a wiki and to contribute to it. So I guess my proposal from this event is, if I created such a wiki, would you all contribute to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to have some way to collaborate with Michigan.
Okay.
Yes, and
a shop talk about.
I think this conversation's already happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what I would define what we're talking about is digital literacy. And I know that through an academic scholarly discourse that includes a lot of components. So it's not just, people say like literacy, like I'm chair literate, I know how to sit in this chair. I think it's more than that. With literacy being the furry sense, so having an understanding of your own self-awareness in the world and having a critical perspective to evaluate the world and then to go out and make change in it, right? And then the digital aspect then brings these technology tools into it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. But let's talk to the second point, which is jobs. Where all do you think you're going to be working 2 years from now?
Yeah, I think there's a question before we get to that one.
Okay.
It was a question.
Or a comment.
I don't know. I think probably the most important thing that you get out of community informatics is going to be your soft skills, because all the hardware, all the software is constantly changing. By the time you graduate, it's probably out of date. So that's something you always have to keep up with, but being able to deal with people, if it was easy, everybody would do it and would do it well, but they don't. And so I think that's one of the main things that you get is actually dealing with human beings. You know, if you want to be a librarian, if that's your thing, more likely than not, you're going to be dealing with people. So it's good to know how to do it. So at least have some practice, maybe fail a little, but at least you know, have experience with doing it, you know what not to do or what worked well. And that's not something that, I mean, it's something you put on your resume. It's not something, you just have to kind of put it into your experience, word it properly, but it may not be a sexy tech thing, but it's important.
Well, I really agree with you. I think you're really right, because that the soft skills are what really, in some ways, unite. It's maybe the one-year defining factor in our community informatics program. I think it's very important to note that most of us, in fact, a lot of us aren't going to ever work in libraries or don't have any association with libraries, and we're doing like data analysis for nonprofits, or you know, like what design and usability studies for nonprofits. You know, it's just the hard tech skill diversity in our community informatics group is really, really diverse. And so I think. So I guess my question back to you is, so how does your program support developing these soft skills?
Well, one example is we have a community engagement class where students are sort of tossed out there to figure out how to work with organizations. A lot of them are in the room, and you guys have done a brilliant job. I'm really proud. We were supposed to show pieces of videos. Eventually, they'll be available online.
There's three different classes where we do that, essentially.
Yeah, it's consistent throughout many classes. All the other kind of volunteer efforts involve that on some
right.
level.
Yeah. Do you do that, there's course projects where you're working with clients, you know, for a specific, like, you know, project or your goal, but is there, like, what do you do sort of outside of your coursework that plays with that,
So the video full of stuff you saw,
yeah.
Most of that was outside of our coursework,
okay.
If not all of it. So, I mean, that's an example. I would also draw from what you were saying, because the skill set, skills requires measurement. And that's a big weakness I think we have. This is a big weakness that I think the education system in general has. We don't know how to measure. When you're saying the vast range, a lot of students get to GISLIS and they think that everybody's gonna know how to program, everybody's gonna know how to make videos. Even within our class, we've been having, like from Karina who's done professional media production on like TV and that kind of stuff, all the way down to like people that are still developing conceptual models for how a timeline works, and like left means backwards in time, right means forward in time. So having a minimum expectation for that kind of computer competency or whatever you want to call it, I think has got to be one of this. So I
yeah. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, Aaron. I totally understand that. Like, the hard skills are always changing, but then on the other hand, it is community informatics. It's not just community. And if the main goal was to just acquire the soft skills, we could just be in the social work program, and that would be all right. I mean, social workers are necessary, and they're going through their own informatics moment where they're trying to transition. So what do you see as the opportunity for community informatics? I guess this is a question for Aaron in particular, if you have any thoughts.
I think it depends on who you're working with, because every technology is not something that's going to be useful for every group. You know, for people who have very low speed internet connections, really great HD Vimeo is going to be buffering forever, you know? So that's not really something that's necessary. So I do think a lot of it is very context dependent. And I think we also have to not discount the lower tech technological things that work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen, you know, like community blogs. They've mostly been from my hometown. They've mostly been white and middle class. They've been very effective, very active in them. And so that is not a particularly high tech solution to a problem, but it is something that has been working for them. So why go gangbusters on something
yeah.
when you don't have to?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not suggesting that. I mean, but it is. You're talking about technology, you're not just talking about soft skills, you're still talking about technology and technological skills.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I don't feel necessarily that we have to put a limit as to, or to say that you have to start with this, because then we're also starting to eliminate people in the community who are not already starting with that. And because there is so much that we can do with all you know, there's always going to be some mental deficit, some deficit that you have, something that you can learn. It's just that, I don't know, I just don't feel like the limits are necessary. You know, I think that we learn as we go, so we learn when we need it. Sometimes we need things that we wouldn't have even thought previously, like maybe I'll end up data mining in the future. Like right now, I'm not really that interested, but I might have to in the future, and in which case, that's a skill set I have to learn, but it may not serve me right now.
I think one thing that kind of, to add on to that, yeah, I think you're right that community informatics does not always need to imply some sort of high-tech, you know, role. But I think something that is interesting is that how do we sort of predict the sort of skills we'll need? So earlier, Abdul was talking about, like, you know, creating this room where you're ready to meet the needs of a community ready to be called into action or who are ready to take those action steps. And, you know, my previous work has always been in education. So I'm really interested in how people create information for educational purposes. You know, who gets to create information? Who does it get spread into? What types of representation are there in our school systems, you know, even in academia? I mean, you know, coming from California and New York, it was a huge culture shock to come into a master's program where there were very few women in my, you know, specialization, and then further from that, very few women of color. What are our invested interests? And I think it takes a lot to sort of say, these are what I invested in. These are the communities that matter to me. And it's also about, you know, creating holistic viewpoints, right? How do I connect, you know, with other women of color in this field? How do I connect with allies and friends? So I think that is, for me, a really important part of community informatics and making those connections.
Hey, my name is Will. I have a quick comment. So one thing that we don't usually talk about with community informatics, I feel like it's summed up often as a zero-sum game. Like, people go into the community to change something, there's a technology that's employed, a new skill is imparted, empowerment occurs, everyone's happy. But really, going back to what Nate says, it goes both ways. Like, I think if you're doing it right, you go in the community and it changes you as much as you change the community. And I think that's a major part of community informatics that we don't, well, I haven't heard a lot about, how it can go back into academia and kind of change the way that schools relate to communities. Like, I think Noah, with EBLACCU, inviting that community to our campus gave people a reason to go to a room that they usually don't have a reason to go to. And that's a big deal. It might sound very simple, but there are a lot of reasons to be a lot of places we're not. And we don't go to a lot of places where we should be going. And same with a lot of other people. I often think of the informatics part as just the beginning of this sort of exchange. You can call it a conversation, you can call it a series of actions. But it makes me realize that change isn't linear. It's not like this A turns to B turns to C. It's more like a cascade of several changes, some of which are more profound and more measurable than others. But that's the whole point of community informatics to me, is that it goes both ways.
Yeah, Will, I mean, I agree with that completely. And I just wanted to clarify just a little bit about my proposal. My proposal wasn't to say that people necessarily have to learn X, Y, and Z. My proposal was more that community informatics needs some kind of reference guide so that lists all the different things that have been done and worked so that we have some kind of collective intelligence for the field, so that when someone finds something that works, even if it is a low-tech thing, like for that the event that Will's talking about, we basically just had an FUV going between a historically African-American church and the Graduate School of Library and Information Science all day long, and that worked. And I think the university should start doing things like that more often, and I hope that they will. But if we had some kind of place where I could say this worked, and Tiffany saw that, and Lenny saw it, and all of you as you graduate could see that as well, if there was some kind of mechanism that we could collectivize our intelligence, that's kind of what my proposal was kind of moving towards.
Because information science and library information services is such a multidisciplinary field, we can look to things that have already been established, like ethnic studies and the way they connect with communities and really push that agenda forward. So that's my undergraduate background. So whenever people have ideas like that, I'm like, well, yeah, like that's already been established. You can't speak for a community. You need to work with them, or you know, they need to tell their own stories. And one of the aspects of information sciences is you could just be a conduit for, I think someone said that earlier, for other people to tell their stories and perspectives.
It's used to me always following up. I can always tell. I like to think about education as a process, right? So we're trying to recruit certain kinds of people to go into school. Something happens to them there, and they walk out with a set of skills. And on some level or another, we do try to measure and define the sets of skills they're walking out with. Now, it might be variable. But I think that it's very much ingrained, sometimes it's so far as testing, but certainly in library and information science, we do have an expectation what people will be able to walk out of a school like guest list with. And so that's part of my argument for having community informatics having some sort of bottom line. And I'm not saying things like know how to use Premiere on a certain kind of computer to make videos. I'm more of things like how to tell a story, how to reflect on what you're learning from the community, how to make contact with somebody that's from a very different perspective from yours and build a relationship with that person. Those kinds of things. And I know those are abstract, but
evaluate both needs and technologies.
Yeah, I think we can come up with a hybrid. That's my pitch. And this also is a secondary solution to that short-term thing, right? Is that, okay, we have students go in and out every 2 years, and you know, we try to talk to each other and learn from one another, but if we can so embed that in a space and online, then we can pass that knowledge on. Mm-hmm. The question is how to best do it, which is tricky.
Comment?
Just like one last quick thing. I think that also, just to follow up on that statement, that once again, touching upon who actually is controlling what, that when you're, should students be have access to other students' work, so the sustainability is
continued, of course, but more so the community should have access to that work. Because ultimately, I mean, another thing that hasn't come up is community informatics specialists or whatever should be advocates for their particular community, and all they should do is focus on what they can do to help that particular community achieve its goals. And the ultimate sustainability for Champaign-Urbana will never come from the university. It's got to come from the various communities of Champaign-Urbana, and the same, I would argue, goes for everywhere in the world. And so, you know, one of the things that there's a great potential, but there's also a great challenge for community informatics is not to become entrenched in the academy. Because when you become entrenched in the academy, you lose your liberatory flair. And we've seen that with any number of disciplines that may have been started in a very, very revolutionary fashion, but as they become institutionalized year over year, you see some of that start to fall away, and it becomes more about publishing journal articles or whatever than it becomes about uplifting communities. And so, you know, one of the things that I would think that, you know, ultimately your dissemination of information has to go out. You know, you just have to be a continuous advocate for whoever you're going to represent.
Yeah, I think we have to, it's necessary at this point to let Abdul talk about e-black studies. Do you have any thoughts about e-black studies and how the African-American freedom struggle continues in the academy?
I was trying to hold back. Just let me make a couple of quick comments. I think we have to make a distinction between research and any applied activity that might lead to some occupation. On the research side, at least in our work in community informatics, it's about learning survey, it's about learning ethnography, it's about learning in relation to ethnography how to run a focus group. It's related to a number of things. And there's some universal questions that have to be asked about every community. And I go back to the question of memory, because that's what's happening with eBlackCU. We didn't go to the community and ask them, would you like to have your memory restored? We started doing it, because it's obvious that the decline of the community means a loss of memory. All those vacant lots mean people forgot who lived there. And, you know, that's a real problem, because without memory, it's hard to establish a collective identity and mobilization, you know, toward resolving any social problems. So we have a real role to play, because the new technologies enable us to do that. And what we discovered is we were doing it relative to a website. What we discovered is that the few people who were the early adopters of this technology, in the very institutions that had not adopted the technology, there were these insurgent activities of people who had Facebook pages on the church, and the people in the leadership in the church didn't even know it. These networks were emerging in the institutions. And so what we've done is connected the greater capacity of a website and the skill set involved there with this emergent Facebook. And so what is happening to eBlackCU is now there are people in the church learning how to run and build the website. And so it will be migrated to Joe and Carol Lewis and others to continue that in Salem. So in that sense, I think we're positing what in general we know has to be done and connecting that with what is being done, so that marriage can lead to something. But at the research side, I think it's very important that to understand that the way in which community informatics has developed up to now is through case studies. And a lot of these case studies have been driven by foundations. And the reports tend to be these bullet point, multicolored slick paper, and very thin on information. So there's very little to be learned from that other than the policy suggestions that the particular organization is doing. We have to change that and really do serious, empirically driven case studies, because that will then produce best practices, and best practices is basically what people can emulate. But beyond that, right now we have two national data sets that define community informatics, and the field has to catch up with this. The first is the TOP program that the federal government funded 600 community projects to informaticize the community. So that's 600 projects, and that archive is at Michigan and at the University of Illinois, because we had to save it because they were going to throw the archive away. But now we have BTOP and their community organizations everywhere in the country who are trying to catch up with BTOP. So we have the whole country is right now experiencing what? Community informatics. Every school system, every healthcare institution, every library, you know, along with the E-rate and all the other things that have happened. So right now, we're being called upon to study this phenomenon. But then also we're being called upon to prepare ourselves to go work in those. But how do you do that divorce from the research? In other words, it's possible for you to have experience. You know, I worked in a library, I worked in a women's center. But you pull back from that case study, what do you know about the patterns for the whole country? That comes from the new research that has to come out, having to do with these large data sets. Now, a lot of people who enter the master's program enter because, A, they don't want to be clerks anymore in whatever job they hate, and so we're catching second career people. But we're mainly catching people who really have social justice and community transformation at the heart of what they want to do. And that's beautiful, fabulous. However, good intentions don't necessarily produce the results. And therefore, I would encourage all the master's students to rethink the research, which should be the platform on the basis of which you intervene in society. And so what are you learning from the research, particularly the data sets that enable you to talk about urban, rural, male, female, middle class people and early adopters versus the digital divide and the more recent adopters. And so in that sense, I think there are definite methodologies. I think there are definite theories. We have to aggregate these things, but they're there. In EBLAC-CU, what the real crisis that we're facing in EBLAC-CU is helping to train people in the community to take it over. Noah, who is the director, is going to be leaving. And as a faculty person, I got to find somebody else. This is an ad, incidentally, to follow Noah. We've been talking about that problem. But the last thing I would say is that if we raise questions here, and you all are obviously going to be driving the faculty to address new things that we wouldn't otherwise do, I would really like to see you all much more proactive. And maybe this is a cry from the 60s generation or something, but I really want you all to be thinking about taking over and asserting what you believe, but then being responsible to develop these beliefs into something that you can actually put on the table. Mm-hmm. Not just a comment, you know, out of your angst or whatever. We need you to prepare to take over. And when we were in school, if we didn't have anybody on the faculty, we created a course. And of course, I'm acknowledging the fact that that's already happened this semester in Illinois, but that's the way forward. Prepare to take over. And that's just from an old head. I don't know, maybe Mike wants to say something about that.
Yeah, and that we're gonna continue this conversation. For people who are interested, we need to wrap up the technology, but in about 20 minutes, we're gonna meet right those plus chairs right out there, and then we're gonna go to dinner together for whoever wants to go to dinner. What Professor Al-Khalimat said really raised why I wanted to make this the last point is in addition, in this question of sustainability, we have to think about both the sustainability of informatics in communities, but we also have to think about the sustainability of community informatics as a discipline. Mm-hmm. As we see at Michigan, community informatics is under threat. As community informatics at Illinois is under threat. And I think this question of taking over and raising our voices to express the urgency and the necessity of community informatics requires clarity of thought around definitions. And why and now as I say that I'm struggling for words, but but this idea that we really have to come together. If we think community informatics is important, then we have to have some kind of unity around what we're doing to make it be something that can take over.
Yeah.
So you guys just took this out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
cool. Hey, Sabrina.
that
okay.
Long stream.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I don't know if that's a valid. I don't know what they
a dinner thing? Or
yeah, well, I think. Is that cool?
They have
no one. I don't.
I don't know if they can follow
you.
Well,
we
have
to take
your
questions. I think we'll stick around. When you're up here, I'm going to
hang
out. I'm going to be updating the old engagement video that I did with our group.
I know, I was like, oh, God, I hope he doesn't show that one.
No, but I want to update my letters.
Because
they want to post this one.
I see.
And I thought, well, maybe we should show the legacy.
Right,
you
well,
get you get some limelight.
I'll probably see you sometime in Chile. I'll be there tomorrow, actually.
Really?